Max Wasserman, founder and senior portfolio manager at Miramar Capital Management, is here. We're talking stocks, and it's time for the Market Call. Welcome to the Money Life Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market, and how they are putting it all together. And returning to the show today, Max Wasserman, founder and senior portfolio manager at Miramar Capital, which, if you know the name of the firm, you can find them online easily. It's miramarcap.com. Max Wasserman, great to have you back on Money Life.
Thanks for having me back. It's a joy.
We always start with methodology at Miramar. Well, you didn't just found the company and become the senior portfolio manager. You helped develop what it is that you guys do. So explain your methodology and what you look for.
Sure. We're the traditional portfolio managers. We actually put together an asset allocation for a client, stocks and bonds. We actually do the research and we build individual dividend growth stock portfolios. And we buy individual bonds. So we get together with the client, determine their risk allocation, and then we invest their money based on their tolerance, their time horizon, the taxes, you know how that goes. But basically, we're dividend growth managers. So we're looking for companies that are growing their cash flows, good return on equity, and they pay their clients to wait. Because when we say client, we're owners in the positions. We like to think of ourselves like Warren Buffett when we invest. We're looking for long-term investments. So we hold stocks 3, 5, 7, 10 years, and we're looking for companies who can pay us to wait.
In that, because I don't have all that, I have plenty of people who will discuss their style, but they don't automatically come out and say, look, I want to be an owner and I buy stocks and bonds. So I'm curious, in your analysis process, how often are you looking at companies going, wait, on this company, I'd rather own the bonds than the stocks. On this company, I'd rather own the stock than the bonds. And I recognize that when you're talking about asset allocation, that the bond portfolio is not just corporates. But does that enter into your stock side of things? When you're analyzing a company, because you are looking for income and you're looking for dividends, et cetera, do you have a lot of times where you're looking going, okay, I would rather own the stock and the shares, or I'd rather own the paper? Like, does that come up a lot?
Actually, it has. And I'll give you a recent example. You know, Oracle is a company that has been doing a lot of debt offering to finance their AI built out. And I'm looking at it and they had like 5 to 7 year paper paying me over 5%. And this is after Oracle, if you remember when they got that big run up, like they went up like 60, 80 points in a few days. I said, you know what? I think it's overvalued. I think they're spending a lot, but the new issuance in bonds, you know, that are senior notes at paying me 5.5-6% for 5 to 7 year, I'd rather buy the bonds for my clients. So actually, yes, I thought the bonds were a better investment than the stocks given the valuation, and I got to collect the income. So I will look at what the debt is trading for. I will look at what the dividends are trading for. I look at the cash flow growth. But yeah, Oracle was a prime example. So we were actually buying Oracle bonds for our clients. We felt the better risk return than buying the stock when it already went up 80%.
What does this do for you when you're looking at something like AI, which is driving so much of the market right now? When many of the new names don't necessarily pay dividends, but they most assuredly are issuing debt because they've got much build out. Are you finding on the AI side that you'd rather be AI direct, AI adjacent, or AI paper?
Well, it's interesting. We do own dividend growth minor because our portfolio is a low, you know, low yielding stocks, high growth, and then a high yielding, low growth. So we it's like a barbell strategy within the portfolio. So we will own an Alphabet when it started paying a dividend. We own the Microsoft. We own the Broadcom, but we were buying Broadcom when it was like over a 3% yield. But there, with the new paper and the new investments that are out there, and I go, I really like to participate. But they don't pay a dividend. That's our philosophy. You have to pay it. Give us something here. So I will look at the bonds. So I will look at it directly and say, if I want to pay it. But when you go to the debt side, it doesn't really matter because you're buying a bond that's set fixed period of time. And it's who can afford to pay the interest, the coupon, if you will, on the bond. So when you go to the debt side, you're really not looking, I'm playing AI as appreciation. Because when we buy the bond, we're really paying it for yield to maturity, right? We're not looking for the growth on the fixed income side. We're looking on the equity side. So when I want to participate in the equity side, they got to have a dividend for us to get involved with it. So, but when I'm looking at pure debt, I'm comparing corporates to the treasury and what the spread is and which one, right? Because the cash flows are so rich at some of these companies, I'll say it makes sense to take the extra risks to grab an extra 150, 200 basis points on it.
Well, and that's really what I was driving at is, are the AI stocks, which have so much cash flow, et cetera, are they wind up making attractive bond opportunities?
They are recently, because they're even more recently because everybody's coming out with new $50, $100 billion bond offerings. The problem is their cash flows. I mean, Oracle's cash flows, I think, borderline a negative in some areas with the amount of debt. I mean, Google just did another big offering. Microsoft, they're all doing the big offerings. And they got to be a little bit more competitive. In the beginning, when Apple used to offer it, they were priced maybe 30, 40 bips over the treasury, right? Now, but you're seeing the other ones, they're starting to get a bigger spread. People are now starting to look at the risk inherent in these big AI data center spending because they're issuing so much debt. And they don't really have the return on invested capital yet. So people are doing buildouts of 50, 80, and there's no slowdown. So at some point, you know, you're seeing shareholders starting to say, wait a second, that's a lot of debt. And if you're not going to get a return to commensurate with what you're issuing, that could be an issue. But so you're starting to see some, they're having to pay you a little bit more. You know, AIs are starting to, the spreads, at least in the last few days, have really started to kick up a little bit. Not a lot, though. There's still, everybody's in love. If you use the word AI, everybody thinks, you know, they're going to go to the moon, right, with everything. But yeah, you have to really be careful because I wouldn't like to own an AI bond past 5 to 6 years. I really wouldn't. I haven't seen it just because technology, people don't realize technology is designed to put itself out of business every 5 years, because if you don't come up with the next thing, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, tell me one technology company hasn't reinvented itself every 3 to 5 years. But it took IBM forever to get, you know, to move when that thing went out, when the company went basically off the charts. I mean, they were the number one company, and now IBM is trying to catch up to that. So you have to be careful with these things. Don't fall in love with these things for 5 to 10 years. That's not what technology is designed for. These are like hit stocks. You hit them. If it's great, you like it for the next 3 to 5, but you got to be on top of them all the time because, you know, the market's changing so much, so quickly.
But at the same time, your investment period is, as you said, you'd like to be able to hold them long-term, 3, 5, 7 years. So
right.
If you're not doing that on tech, where are you finding that in this market? What are the areas where you're finding the right kind of dividends, the right kind of yields, and the kind of things that you can be a long-term investor?
Sure. So right now, given the market the way it is, you know, we have about 25% is in technology, right? The larger cap ones that have a dividend, we like that. And we're using a barbell strategy that we've been using a lot with energy stocks, which nobody wanted energy, right? But we still like it, like the integrated companies, the Chevrons of the world, we have an investment in. We also like the EOGs, both paying you 3.5-4% yields. And we like the pipelines, the C Corps, like the One Oaks that we have investments in. So we like that area. So if you use the barbell, you have dividends of the tech maybe under 1%, but I'm getting 4% on the other end in energy. That I like some of the financials that have been paying us really well, the CMEs of the world that give us a, you know, 5 dividend payments, they give you 4, and then at the end of the year, they pay you out the profits. You know, some of the cyclical companies we like a lot, the waste managements of the world, things like that. We have a Snap-on Tools. We like that one. Bring back people who know the tools. But so we do a barbell outside. So while we have 25%, healthcare has been a big investment for us. You know, the big pharmaceuticals like the AbbVie has been a really big winner. It's actually one of our top 5 holdings right now. The stock has been doing tremendous. The Mercks, the Bristol Myers. So that's how we're spreading it out. So you can have a portion of the portfolio that's in, I call, more aggressive, lower yielding stocks, if you balance it out with the more traditional dividend growth and higher yielding stocks. So that's where we're finding it to balance it out.
Are you finding most of those names? Obviously, dividend producers are not necessarily the smallest companies, but you know, there's been this good rally in small caps. You've obviously been trying to diversify away from technology where you can. Cap size matter much?
You know, we look at businesses if we like it. I mean, I think a smaller cap would be Snap-on Tools, the one we just added within the last 6 months. So yeah, we're looking like the 50 billion. We'll still go there, 40. But you know, we manage money. So when you want to buy or sell, you got to look at what type of liquidity. And sometimes for us, liquidity in small cap stocks can really have an issue. right? Of when you traded day-to-day investing. If you're buying, let's say $3, $5, $10 million of a stock that's small cap, you know, your purchases and your sales really affect the purchase price. So for us, we really find a stand into the medium to large cap area. But we're looking at business. Where do we think growth is in businesses? So we'll look for those companies, but we don't go into smaller caps. It just doesn't work for us. That's not our forte, if you will.
And once you find these companies where you really like to own the business and you've been in it for a long time, what makes you sell? How much of it is conditions at the company have changed? How much of it is now there's a better, faster, stronger horse out there?
Right. I mean, that's a great question. You know, you look at it as people don't realize about 50% of a stock price's move is the industry it's in, right? 40%, you know, 20 to 40% can be the market in general. And only a small percentage is actually the individual company. I mean, because everything the ETFs are trading in that marketplace. So if you like, let's say, you know, financials, it's a big cap, it's going with the indexes, right? Whatever we're buying or selling, same thing with technology. So what we're finding is we're looking for these companies that can give us the best return, right? So we're really, it's hard to find a great company at a good price, right? In a market environment where everybody's just jumping in to, you know, tech. So we say you can't go looking at tech, you got to look outside of tech. So we do a lot of screening, we'll spend a lot of time, but it takes us a while. Again, we're looking to hold these companies for a period of time. We've held Microsoft, for example, for a long time, Broadcom for a long time. So we got to really be comfortable we understand the stories. For us to really delve into it, we got to need liquidity, we need to understand if they have a dividend policy. I mean, it's a lot of research that we do. And, you know, when you get it wrong, you got to be willing to manage out of it. We do get it wrong at times.
Well, now we're going to find out how you feel about some stories that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Shall we play a game?
Yes, welcome to our lightning round. We call it Quick and Dirty here on Money Life. It's where we get to put our guest to your test. And today, we're testing Max Wasserman, founder and senior portfolio manager at Miramar Capital Management, miramarcap.com, if you're looking for more information on Max and the firm. And we're going to start with two names that you've actually mentioned. But you mentioned them in passing, and there is also a difference. Just because you liked them and have been looking at them for a while doesn't mean you're still in them now or would be buying them now. So Lance in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, wants to know about both Alphabet, Google, G-O-O-G, and Microsoft, M-S-F-T. And I need to disclose, when you're talking about Microsoft, that is something that is in my portfolio.
No, these are good things. Right now, Microsoft, we like a lot, but it's out of favor. Right? Nobody sneaks it because the OpenAI, everybody's moving to the Gemini, which is Alphabet. We were big buyers of Alphabet in the 180 range because we thought it was underpriced. And so we like it. We still like Alphabet. We still think it's good, but it's not cheap. You're not getting an easy stock. So we would look to add to that stock on any pullback. Microsoft, on the other hand, nobody wants it right now. It's like, it's funny how they switched. And what happens is the market usually gets it wrong. So we think Microsoft is developing new AI with tier levels. So you can go in cheaper than the high modeling that you need. So we think today we would be actually big buyers of Microsoft. It's one of our bigger investments and we're still holding on to Google. So we like them both, but for risk reward, Microsoft to me is really discounted.
Just go slow and be smart.
So it's an unqualified buy. You're not worried about the price right now or what have you. It's the opportunity on MSFT, Microsoft, and a slightly qualified buy on Alphabet, ticker G-O-O-G, in that you're buying it, but you'd rather be buying it on the pullback. Next, for Gregory in Tully, New York, and Tracy in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, but again, out of my portfolio too, it's HSY, that's Hershey Corp.
We like Hershey. You know, we have an investment. The issue with Hershey is cocoa prices. Well, cocoa prices were around 10,000 and there was really squeezing the margins. And everybody was talking about GLP-1s and everything that goes with it. But Hershey's, we like it a lot. And cocoa prices have come down from 10,000 down to 4,000. And that was due to crop issues in Brazil and Central and South America. We think it's a tremendous company. They're expanding in the salty food area. Pays you a nice percent, you know, 3% yield. And the trust company owns it. So that's what people don't realize. That stock is mainly owned by the trust company, to service the Hershey Trust, right? The school that they have, Hershey Company. So we like it a lot, and we think it's a good buy.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
So that's Tasty Buy on HSY, Hershey Corp. Let's see if we've got something to wash that down with, because Tony in Henderson, Nevada wants to know about PepsiCo, ticker symbol PEP.
Yeah, so we have an investment in PEP. Little disappointed in how it's performing lately. It gives you a 4% yield. They're not as aggressively growing the North America in the soda side, the beverage side. And they're getting squeezed on the profit margins for the high cost on the snack side, which is the Frito-Lays in that area. It's a good company, but it's really being squeezed by price inflation, and they're not being able to adjust it as well. Coke has done a better job. We still like Pepsi, but right now it's in the doghouse, you know, so it's giving you 4% yield. You're buying it now as more of a turnaround. So we still own it. Would we buy it here? We would, but do not. It's going to take a while. They've got to turn around and deal with the cost inflation that's dealing with it. And they're having a problem. But again, long term, we like it.
Buyer beware, dude.
That makes it a cautious buy on PepsiCo, PEP. And we finish with a request from Catherine in Fort Collins, Colorado. She wants to know about UPS, United Parcel Service.
Ugh. It's a bane of my existence sometimes. I like the company, but they did bad contracts with the unions that really put pressure on them. And then they got rid of the Amazon business, which was low margin business. But Amazon is stepping up and it's really taking and putting pressure on them and FedEx as well. UPS is really, you're buying the dividend, a turnaround. They can deal with it, a slowdown in the economy, and they just have so much. They're barely covering the dividend at UPS. So I think if you're holding, and that's all I could do is I say at this price is a holding. I can't recommend it because I think the cash flows are really being stressed. And any turn down in the economy, I wouldn't be surprised if they cut the dividend. But I loved the company for a long period of time. But the contracts with the union just drove the prices through the roof at a time when the market is really changing under them. So they have a lot of work to do to grow that business.
No money changes hands today.
Well, and as you said, you don't want to fall in love with a company. You love the company, but you don't love the stock right now. Hold it if you've got it, but beware of a dividend cut and maybe look for an exit point. That's what it sounds like on UPS, United Parcel Service. And speaking of exit points, Max, we've run out of time, but it was great to catch up with you. Let's do this again down the line.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
That's Max Wasserman, everybody. He is the founder and senior portfolio manager at Miramar Capital Management. You can learn more about him and the firm at miramarcap.com. And you can learn whether he agreed or disagreed with some recent guests on a bunch of the stocks he just talked about, as we will tell you about that before we wrap this show up right after we take a quick break.